hello, hello, everyone. Thank you so much for taking your busy, busy time and taking some time out to tune in today. This is Lynn, Mystic Healer with Spiritual Emergency Training Program, and we have a special guest today because, and Andy's back on to integrate a lot of it to help mainstream it. Anyway, where we are bringing in the light, shining in the darkness. We're bringing in the light where the darkness dwells. Whoa, yeah. So we're bringing in a whole new paradigm here and working together to mainstream it down into developing the interconnected cities of enlightenment, peace, green, you know, all the new infrastructures needed with universal travel too with our star brothers and sisters. And we have Reverend Paul E. Nugent on special guest today. He was born in Cambridge, England in 1958. He was brought up in the Church of England, culminating in regular worship and charitable work for the homeless at London's famous St. Martin's and in the Fields Church in Trafalgar. Okay, you guys both. Okay, sometimes called the Parish Church of England, and having completed a business degree in 1980, he later embarked on a four-year study of the Eastern Philosophy of London School of Economic Science, as well as spending two periods at the New Age Spiritual Community of Findhorn in the north of Scotland, where the best game in the planet that I love, the Transformation Game, came out of. It's fabulous. Anyway, he also, at the same time, was introduced to the cosmic teachings of the Aetherius Society that had been founded in London in 1955. I didn't know it was that old. By Western master of yoga, Dr. George King. Many of you probably are aware of his work, especially the light workers on the call. He became a member of the Aetherius Society in 1986, and in 1990 he moved permanently to the Society's American headquarters in Los Angeles. In 1992, he became a personal assistant to Dr. King, remaining at his side until his passing in July 1997. Okay, in 2001, he became the director of the Aetherius Society, helping to spread the cosmic teachings that were given by masters from beyond this earth, you know, the brotherhood and sisterhood of light, where Jesus came from, through Dr. King, while in love and light. Masters from beyond the earth through Dr. King, while he adopted a positive yogic, somatic trance. It was this extremely elevated state of consciousness that Dr. King was overshadowed by the Master Jesus in 1958 as he delivered the mystic text known as the 12 Blessings. The Immaculate Philosophy adds a profoundly beautiful extension to his Sermon on the Mount of 2,000 years ago, awakening humanity to the palpable awareness of our place within a living cosmos, yes, and the absolute oneness of all life, including the Mother Earth, the mighty sun, and the galaxy beyond. He also works with these 12 blessings. He'll probably talk to you about a program that he works with ongoing. But he's active in interfaith, and he's currently the vice chair of Southern California Committee for the Parliament of the World's Religions, and a former board member of the Interfaith Communities United for Justice and Peace, love their work, as well as joining regularly with several other interfaith organizations. He has lectured on the 12 Blessings and the Cosmic Teachings of the Aetherius Society for over 25 years on television, radio, universities, churches, and a variety of other venues. And I'll wait till the end, and you can give your email, website, and your 800 call-in. So welcome, Reverend Paul E. Nugent.
Thank you very much, Lynn, Mr. Keeler.
And Andy, you haven't met Andy yet. Andy, welcome. Thanks for being on the call and helping us integrate and ground in. the interfaith society's movement with the development of a new age WPA for the evolving consciousness heart and soul community, jobs for all at the heart and soul, the God-given gift level, with a good basic guaranteed income, you know, and of course a safe place to live, housing for all, and a single payer health care that will be universal. So, you know, not just the elite can travel all over the planet, but everyone should be able to, either from their homes or if they so wish, to be able to travel and have health care. So with that, Cindy, welcome.
After looking briefly at the Aetherius website, and now I don't have to ask Reverend Newton his background. Now that I know he's Church of England and Interfaith, I can say that although I don't know much about Eastern religions or about yogic teachings, I could say my own beliefs come very close in similar themes. So I look forward to Reverend Newton telling us more.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy.
Yes, please.
Oh, that was all a right. Cue. That's a cue. That's a cue for me to
yeah.
All right.
A little
bit more. Reverend Newton, what are the 12 blessings?
Well, the 12 blessings specifically is, Lynn just referred to, what brought me into the Aetherius Society now over 30 years ago. Lynn read out my bio. But yes, I had, a few years before that, basically had what one might term a spiritual crisis. I was a young man living in London. I had one might say a good job, a career ahead of me. I was working in the wine trade. Back then, you know, houses and apartments were all affordable. Everything worked kind of much, you know, more normally back then. So I was able to have a mortgage on an apartment in London, you know, which is pretty impossible these days, certainly if you're a young person.
We have the same problem
you know,
in
regular
New York and L.A.
Sorry?
We have the same problem in New York and Los Angeles now.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I had a normal sort of circle of friends and all that kind of business. But I sort of fundamentally felt that something was very much missing from my life. You know, there had to be more than just this very sort of material surface way of living. And it put me into some kind of crisis, spiritual crisis. I didn't realize it was a spiritual crisis. But for whatever reason, I read for the first time in my life with any kind of seriousness the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they had a very sort of profound effect on me because I could recognize that, albeit this was 2,000 years ago, but that here was someone who really sort of understood how he rightfully should be living, you know, on this planet. And so I became quite engaged in the church, the Anglican church. I didn't know where else to go. It was London. So I began by going to Westminster Abbey and went there for like 6 months. But then I wandered down a very famous street called the Mall.
Pretty lofty places.
Yeah, lofty places. Came across this much smaller church, but still very historic church called St. Martin's in the Fields. And it just sort of felt much more intimate. I liked Westminster Abbey. I mean, it's full of, as I put it, the tombs of kings and poets. I mean, it's a fantastic place, certainly historically speaking, and architecturally. But anyway, I felt, you know, much more intimate, much more at home at St. Martin's in the Fields. And at the end of the service, they asked for people to join their scrub club, which is the people who cleaned up on Saturday evening. And I thought, you know, I'm a young guy, I can help out. So I got involved in that, not knowing at the time that the church was a center for London's homeless people. So, you know, I remember getting a few friends to come and help one Saturday evening. And one of them said it was more like cleaning up after a football match than dusting a few pews, because you've got cider bottles and rolled up newspapers and cigarette butts and all kinds of stuff that I guess is associated with homeless people. Anyway, there I was going down this Christian path, and my boss in the wine trade, a lovely man, still know him to this day, he was studying Eastern philosophy at a school in London. And I went there as well and was introduced to things like karma, reincarnation, and they resonated in much the same way that the teachings of Christ had resonated with me, and it was something I couldn't really ignore. And yet, you know, obviously is not part of Orthodox Christianity. I would say it is a part of mystical Christianity. And anyway, his secretary was a member of the Aetherius Society. She'd also been to Findhorn. She's the one who introduced me to Findhorn. So I started also going to the Aetherius Society, and which sort of introduced this sort of cosmic aspect. I mean, UFOs, beings from other worlds, which I'd never thought about at all, and probably ordinarily would have dismissed. Without investigating it further. And as I did investigate it, and in particular, as I listened to some of the transmissions that came through this master of yoga, Dr. George King, the founder of the Aetherius Society in 1955, I found that there was just this sort of profound truth. There was a resonance. There was something that was extremely relevant, important to humanity in this day and age. Because, as I say, even though this was over 30 years ago, I felt at the time that our world was in a crisis then, in environmental crisis. Basically, because we were not living as I would say as we should be living, as was intended by the great teachers who've come and told us what this experience of life is about and how to live it. And so, as I say, this is what introduced me to the 12 blessings. These are 12 transmissions that came, we call them transmissions, cosmic transmissions, that came through Dr. King on 12 consecutive Sundays in 1958. We believe they were given by Jesus. And they just
What Sundays in 1958?
The first Sunday was July 27th. Sunday, July 27th. I was actually born during that period. I was born, I think it was 2 days before the 11th blessing in October of 1958. The last blessing, the 12th blessing, which is a blessing to the Absolute, was given on October the 12th, 1958.
I asked and because I was born on September the 12th, 1958.
Okay, well, Andy, we are brothers. We are of much the same age.
I feel for you.
Sorry?
I feel for you.
you feel, why? I think 1958 was a wonderful year. Why in what?
Unfortunately, it says on the line 9, Friday the 12th was a Friday, so I was hoping that I was born on one of the Sundays, but no Sunday.
Yeah, no, exactly. I was born on a Friday. Friday's child is loving and giving.
Hey, you have to realize that, you know, depending on where you are on the planet, maybe you were born on a Saturday.
That's true. Okay. In New Zealand, it would have been a Saturday. Well, in Australia, it would have been a Saturday.
As I look over the 12 blessings, I can't help but notice how similar they are to the main themes of all the major religions.
Well, yes, indeed. I mean, the essence of the teachings, besides being cosmic, is a sort of universal love, and you know, all religions surely. Come out of a universal love. That's the basis.
I myself have tended to shy away from organized religions. My birth background was Reformed Judaism, almost mystical. But I have tended, while I respect the traditions and rituals for their own purposes, I have tended to want to find my own path. And I find that my path has led me to similar beliefs than some of the Eastern faiths, although I don't have the discipline that they require. And I've found that my path is similar, even as I read through the questions. For instance, I spent a period of time asking, what is love? And as I read through the Aetherius site, I like the explanations there, but I think there's room for some refinement. For instance, in one place, they talk about the different types of love, and I think that's a valid discussion, but some of the things like jealousy and possessiveness are not really love. And as I look through things, as I looked, I have a more refined over time thoughts about love and what the different, there's not that many different kinds of love to me. And as I look over the site, I also notice that it's an important emphasis on selfless service to others, and I think that's wonderful, but I also have always cautioned people of service, don't forget their part of the equation as well, and tending to themselves and their maintenance in a reasonable fashion should be part of their mission.
Right.
Otherwise,
I'm going to jump in. Service, let's just talk about this. This is really critical to me because we have over 1,000 military bases in 156 countries, okay? So we're housing people and teaching them to kill one another in other cultures. They don't know the language. They're terrifying them just with their essence and their energy of equipment. And here we are. And then paying them a basic income, housing, basic income, and they give them health care. Okay, a socialized mechanism that is destructive, it's satanic, it's absolutely disgusting. So why aren't we developing the housing for the homeless and healing them, getting them to source, direct source contact with the Holy Spirit realm, the inner light, the God within them, and help them shine their light and grow their gifts and build heart and soul-based communities of enlightenment, peace, green, with a basic guaranteed income, with single payer, so that people can start to build these interconnected cities of evolution of inner peace for world peace, armies of light, so to speak, or inner peace police, actually.
Is that a question?
Yeah. Why? Why can't we get that understanding out there that we really need to go in a new direction with service, with community?
Actually, it's a pretty old direction.
Well, but I think that's just what this whole process on Earth is about. It's a process of evolution, and we are slowly, our consciousness is very slowly growing and expanding to become much more aware of ourselves as individuals in the true sense, but also what we're a part of, coming back to this universal love. But we don't have that at this point in time because we're not really as yet conscious of our true self, our true being, who and what we really are and what we really are a part of. But central, certainly, to the Aetherius Society's understanding, as again Lynn read out at the beginning, we recognize that the Earth is a living being. Everything is living. Everything is interconnected. Everything has consciousness, and the planet herself, as a conscious intelligence, her vibration has been quickened. She is quickening, which is the manifestation that we're seeing all around us, just about in every aspect of life. And so there is now an increased pressure on all of us to come into an alignment with that heightened consciousness that is coming to this planet. At some point in the future, we will have the kind of experience and way of life that Lynn is referring to. In fact, way beyond that. I mean, we'll sort of evolve beyond material physical need, certainly beyond money as a system. And that's part of a quickening process that is taking place on Earth, but we're still quite backward because of our karmic history.
Well, one of the things that I focus on is the average person on the planet is so pressured and rushed by what they're seeing and reacting to, they often aren't taking the moments they need to explore their existence further. And one of my personal missions is to help rephrase some of the spiritual languaging and religious languaging in palatable form for them. Sometimes it can be done on a scientific basis. Sometimes it can be done on a guy-on-the-street basis. But if these precepts are true, and I believe they are, then they should be able to be packaged in a way to get broader appeal. The problem that we have is we've got so much happening, as you call the quickening, that the average person is so overwhelmed by getting through their day, they don't really have a good avenue for self-evolution. Is that a way to put it?
Self-love actually comes from understanding who they really are and why they're here and how to access their inner light, the God within. And we've been cut off from that on this planet. And all these divisions, you know, have been set up. But now with internet and cell phones, you know, we've got, you know, the ancestry.com, and then you have Nassim Hariem's Resonance Academy group. And then you have understanding of, you know, like the Galactic Free Press group. And, you know,
but you see, every person needs to find their own path down the road.
But a lot of them can't, Andy. They're too in pain and suffering. They're stuck. They're in survival mode, especially the homeless. I mean, we're not showing. You know, I feel like it's a church's responsibility with the spiritually evolutionary groups to unite and buy some Main Street TV. Put out the propaganda and understanding, hey, we are not only all connected, this is a little house, and there's a lot of freaking work individually and collectively to do, but you want to have it at their heart and individual soul essence level, because everyone's soul gifts are their God-given gifts, and they're all different, you know, and their life lessons are different, but the answers for those are within. So another thing very important is to show that we really can create this evolving, loving, caring, sharing, you know, forgiveness and integrity, honesty through our whole systems, just by letting people understand it's possible, and that also they have these God-given gifts. It doesn't, you know, they do. Everyone has them, and they have God within them. Jesus said,
themes that Reverend Nugent spoke of, no need for money and all that higher vision of society, have been embodied in our favorite Star Wars, Star Trek, our science fiction writings for years. And I know a large part of the population, I guess I'll use the word, resonates with that thinking. They just haven't realized it could happen sooner than they think. It's somewhere off in the future. They haven't put two and two together, but I think it's been in popular parlance for a long time. And I think it's been a part of us for a long time. I don't think we need to change. I think we each have within us what's necessary now. Just got to figure out how to use it.
Well, that's part of what Bitcoin is, and the blockchain and what have you. That's the revaluation, getting off the old GDP, you know, fractional banking, debt banking systems, and going into the genuine progress indicator banking type systems, which is happening. It really is. However, at the same time, to get the real movement happening without the churches, the 501c3s, and all the spiritual groups and caring activist groups united, the dark ones are still dividing and conquering and trying to play these games of division, where if you get the legislation on the move and get those other groups that I just aforementioned together, then you've got this refocus on doing and creating and visualizing and showing, yeah, we really can build these interconnected cities of enlightenment, green, all these new edible landscaping crews with all these solar greenhouses and, you know, clean air, clean water, biophotonic systems. You can have, you know, desalinization programs. I mean, getting people reorganized with the real possibilities that a lot of people, especially in the U.S., are so terrified and so coping with drugs and guns and war and guns and drugs and violence and bullying and war, you know, and fossil fuel poisons and chemical air poisons and what have you, that, you know, we've really got to get those fundings and have the funding shifted. And I feel like it's really the church's responsibility to unite and help, you know, major religions unite to dispel those dark paradigm programs.
I think all of the things you speak of are inevitable.
I don't know if they're inevitable. I think all the things that you speak about are eventualities. I think that it's going to be a struggle for orthodox religions, and this is the inevitable bit that I would question. I don't think that orthodox religions are on this page. I think that orthodox religions, or at least a good chunk of them, are still trying to cling to, in inverted commas, the old paradigm.
Legislation, just a sec, for heart and soul, you just went past race, religion, and gender, and politics.
If I add to my comment,
immediately in every community,
if I add the phrase, in order for us to survive and thrive, they're inevitable, The reason I left it at inevitable is my calculus is there's only generally two, maybe three outcomes. And I have found it's better to take, when all things seem equal, it's better to take the positive approach because there's an ineffable quality that hope and positive thinking can bring to a situation that would otherwise seem equal. It seems like there's this ineffable something out there that can tip the scale if we have positive thinking. So that's why when choosing among equals, I prefer to accentuate the positive.
Well, I think that our civilization is literally in its final hours, or some people might say days or minutes. I mean, it depends on your scale of reference. But the way we're living literally cannot continue. And I think that it will transform itself in probably one of three ways. One is a complete socio-economic collapse, which is possibly very likely. Another would be connected to that, arising out of that is some kind of third world mad war. Connected to that. Another scenario is just the intensity of climate change, just dramatically shifting things. Certainly here down in Southern California, we're it's a period of drought. I mean, so much of the world is facing water crises, all kinds of environmental crises of just a massive proportion.
Don't you think that historically, calamities, we have a unique, the human species has had a unique ability to rise to the occasion when calamities occur? I'm not sure a global financial crisis.
Well, you need to give me an example, Andy, but I just want to finish the third possible scenario as I envision it, and that is just an overwhelming manifestation of UFOs. Because I think what humanity needs, I'm giving my very personal opinion here, but what humanity needs more than anything is shock. We need to be shocked.
The day the earth stood still.
No, not that kind, you guys. The truth is the Holy Spirit realm, the divine. That's why it's so critical to get people connected to source themselves, their soul energies. Their heart and soul energies are connected to source.
Right.
It's connected to their inner light. It's connected to the divine, evolved Holy Spirit,
exactly.
Holy Spirit realm, which is the divine brotherhood and sisterhood of the light of the Arcturians, Pleiadians, and Andromedans here that do want to help us. But if people aren't calling for the help, it's God's will versus free will on this planet. So what we're trying to do, and I really thank you, Paul, for the Aetherius Society being focused on that, because it's really critical that we get a call in to our star brothers and sisters and that people open up and make sure that it's all from their own divine love and light energy of their light body, opening their chakra system, helping people do prayer and directly connect to our star brothers and sisters that are very evolved. They would pass this, you know, low-level ego mind, limited, fear-based, reactive, brutal, warring, you know, satanic programming. They way evolve from it. And that's what we're supposed to be.
And I'm hoping that such a shock is only in the form of socioeconomic problems such as the Great Depression. I'm hoping, as an example, that we don't have to lose a major city to realize the folly of nuclear weapons, and the shocks can be recoverable.
Well, that's why people need to share. Like all the droughts, that's weatherization weapon systems. Go to geoengineeringwatcheveryone.org, geoengineeringwatch.org, and I cannot believe that the churches aren't stepping up and taking that money out of those programs. They need to step it up. I mean, really, this is disgusting. Go to geoengineeringwatch.org. There's 165 patents, and they're aerosol spraying us. They have weatherization weapon systems, and it's being used against us. And then so are how many vaccination farms? Check them out. Our vaccination farms and Big Pharma took over all of our health and human services and social healer services. That's why they have so many problems with foster care systems. They have homeless. We have, juvie delinquent halls growing. And massive incarceration is insane. There is no need for any of it. We could close right now with heart and soul-based opening projects and programs. We could actually close what, 90% even maybe more, but 90% of the jails. And, hey, the drug war in Afghanistan, 95% of the world's drugs, follow the drug war money, people, and terror and the guns, follow it. And churches, step up and stop those funds. The fund should not be going in that direction. And then go to nuclearplanet.com. Nuclearplanet.com. Check it out now. It also reiterates the fact that what Dane Wigington's talking about. And there's biological, 165 patents to spray us like bugs, okay? And then to kill us off. And then also, too, the other one is 60 more nuclear weapon facilities.
Lynn,
more? I mean, we already have 100,000 tons of nuclear waste we don't know what to do with. Get the money out of those programs and those thought forms, please.
Lynn, for the rowdy kids.
Lynn, let me say that it's for all of those reasons that I joined the Aetherius Society, because what the Aetherius Society, the work that the Aetherius Society is doing in cooperation with beings from beyond this earth, because more evolved beings, obviously, because they cannot do it on their own, karmically. It's the human race who've created these problems. The human race has to work to resolve these problems. But they will help us so long as we make the right effort in the right way. And the biggest crisis that we have is a lack of spiritual energy. Our world is not infused and imbued with this higher frequency energy. And so the Aetherius Society, the main work that we do and the main way that we're of service to the world is sending out spiritual energy through prayer and other ways, both to the world as a whole, but also, and karmically most significantly, to the logos of the planet. Because we've been here for however many millions of years, we would say roughly 18, but you know, other people may have a different opinion about that. And we've been here, and we've literally just taken from the planet, polluted the planet in every possible way. We've completely ignored the natural balance, the devic, nature spirits, the devic kingdom, as they're known in Sanskrit. We're completely unaware of that. And so one of the main ways that we are helping in the Aetherius Society is we are actually directing energy to the logos, the very heart of the Mother Earth, as a karmic manipulation, as a way of actually saying thank you. It's done as a gesture, albeit very, very small. It's a token.
Yes, I do. I'll just
giving energy back.
I don't think the size
of the logos of the planet.
Yeah, I understand. I'm in a lot of different prayer groups, and there's just real quick shout out. Another group is to get it connected with on the ground is what's really important is compassion, charterforcompassion.org, everyone, and humanitiesteam.org. They're really critical players in this, and so is the shiftmovement.com and the peacealliance.org. Really, really important groups to help ground in and bring in the new Jobs for Justice, you know, Peace and Justice. And then UNAC, really critical group to share with, UNAC, all caps. It's United National Anti-War Coalition.org. Love them. They have a lot of different, with the Veterans for Peace and Code Pink groups and what have you, too, to get reintegrated with, you know, grounding into the communities. And the other really important work out there for all of us to help people understand is the work on science research, Noetic Sciences Institute. Dean Radin's latest work, too, is really critical because we're all connected, okay? You can go to Resonance Academy with Nassim Hariem's work and verify, or Ancestry.com. We're all connected. It's a house we're on, and the thought forms have to get, people have to know every human being, red, yellow, black, and white, all red, yellow, black, and white, okay? We all have this basic needs and similar 10 basic emotions. Some people say there's only 2 basic emotions, love and fear, but really there's, you know, you might want to spread it out to 10. There's also research on the 4 basic, mad, sad, glad, or fear. But anyway, we're all the same. We have basic human emotions. All red, yellow, black, and white. Does not matter about culture, okay? That's where heart and soul work comes in, because you go beyond race, religion, genders, okay? You, and caste and politics. Those job, you know, jobs for justice are so important. So, but anyway, and what's really critical is they have science research now that when anyone is really, really getting angry or really upset, their answers are inside their soul matrix. It might be a past life problem they're still working on. That's why soulmates and twin flames and soul work is so critical. And there's so many beautiful soul, you know, soul news, and there's all kinds of soul, straight talk, news for the soul. You know, there's just so many people that are working at the actual soul matrix level of evolution. So anyway, I just wanted to get that in there. Thank you.
Let me interject one brief thing. If for any reason the idea of a soul matrix isn't your cup of tea or phrasing, every walk of life has defined the scientists, the therapists, the clergy. They've used different words, but they all agree about looking within. And that doesn't mean ignoring what's without. It means looking within to find how to look without and what to do. It doesn't mean you're responsible for everything. You may look within and find out that you're partially responsible for something. So I've had people say to me, well, if I look within, then I'm ignoring what someone's doing to me. That's not what looking within is about. It's about a meditative state, connecting with your best self. And you'll find that there's a lot of things you didn't realize you'll be able to answer. Reverend Nugent, it's probably obvious to you, but I think the universe, the galaxy, and the planet know every gesture, even small ones. And I don't think it's a question of quantity, but intention.
I would agree that everything is, in that sense, is known, absolutely.
So even though you may feel it's a small gesture, sometimes the small gestures are make a big difference, like a quiet voice.
Absolutely. I mean, all for the want of a nail, a kingdom was lost. I don't know if you're familiar with that nursery rhyme, but it's actually quite profound.
It sounds great. Now I have to research it.
All for the want of a nail. I won't go into the details, but it meant that the horse could not get its horseshoe put on, and as a consequence of that, the knight couldn't get his horse to the battle, and as a consequence of that, the king was captured and killed, and for that reason, the whole kingdom was lost, all for the want of a horseshoe nail.
The butterfly effect.
Yeah, the butterfly effect.
A wonderful nursery.
Shout out to the butterfly.
For want of a nail.
On that note. Anyway, I just wanted to reiterate the fact how important it is that all militaries stand down and go green. You know, really, the churches and spiritual groups, caring activist groups, green groups, you know, the funds have to be, those kind of funding mechanisms have to be reallocated into, you know, development of our new infrastructure projects and programs and services and green civil services and what have
you. So how do you propose getting that done?
To get the militaries to stand down and go green. The churches
are doing it.
NATO has to go. We don't need NATO anymore. When they realize we're in a big house, we're all connected, and no one, you know, if you make other jobs available through the churches and online programs like this, and you're making other jobs available, housing and other jobs available, with mass advertisement and new propaganda, you can shift the whole planet.
Reverend Nugent, Lynn and I have this debate all the time. She has a wonderful picture of a world I'd love to see, as do many people. And my family's activism was more grounded. They were focused on, okay, how do we get there? Because we know where we should go. But
right,
the trip
right.
there
we
is...
We know war is wrong and bad and everything else. But the question is, how do we get there? As I say, this reason I'm in the Aetherius Society, it's spiritual energy. It's putting out that frequency, that higher frequency of impersonal love. Which we store in a battery. We do something every week. We've done it for over 40 years, called Operation Prayer Power. And this is done in several locations around the world, including here in Los Angeles, every Thursday evening. We invoke that spiritual energy using mantra, Tibetan mantra, and prayer from the 12 blessings. And we store the energy in a crystal battery. And then at various times throughout the year, or when crises take place, we release that energy in a very concentrated way. It becomes very concentrated inside the battery. And, for example, we might release approximately 500 hours of prayer energy in 30, 35 minutes. So it's very, very concentrated. And
have you considered the possibility? Have you considered the possibility that the crystal storage is a metaphor for your own collective storage?
Absolutely. A very good point, Andy. Absolutely, yeah, completely. I mean, there's nothing. I think that the human body, you mentioned, that we're made in the image of God, and there's nothing in the whole galactic system that is actually not replicated inside our own human body with our psychic
Carl
centers.
Sagan said we're all star stuff.
We're all star stuff. I mean, the billions of cells that we have that make up this body, it's all integrated, it's all interconnected. And the only thing that, well, enough said.
Well,
no,
the thing I find is when I tell people about our interconnectedness.
Thoughts create reality, okay?
Well, when I tell people about our interconnectedness, sometimes
they... thinking about war or being violent because they've got new programs, propaganda, new information, and want to be loved and connected and part of a workforce that they feel good about themselves, you know, that resonates with them, their heart and soul job.
Well, Lynn, I have a question for you. Do you feel good about yourself?
There is no war.
Lynn, do you feel good about yourself?
Yes. I feel so fortunate. I'm in so many beautiful. I just have so. There's so many beautiful prayer groups. I'm Cheryl Croce's group on Sundays. Every Sunday and Monday night for 3 hours, we do for the planet and individuals and prayer groups, and it's just so beautiful. I could do a quick shout out and get everybody invited to that too. Oh my gosh. I mean, Humanities Team group, we're here, okay? But I just feel really strongly that what we're up against right now is more money. They want to get rid of the United Nations when they need to get rid of NATO, war gamers. I mean, we don't need those thought forms anymore. And that's where I really expect the churches to step it up and use their property as new alternative healing centers, you know, where people go instead of jail or foster care problems or all these juvies or jails and, you know, being taught to kill people. I mean, really, we have to get on this Jobs for Justice, and that's where I really keep pushing for heart and soul-based community services. You know, we can do this now. Heart
Reverend
and soul
Nugent,
goes beyond
I'm glad
race,
you,
religion,
I'm glad,
and gender. I'm just asking for a new age WPA legislation to be promoted. Thought forms on it. Prayer for me, okay?
I need to say something, Lynn. I'm glad you asked that question about Lynn, because as we look to transform our world, evolve from concrete to abstract and all that stuff we all know, it's obvious to me that each one of us is reacting out of our own experience, as even Lynn is. She's lost brothers in war, and she's particularly attuned to that. And as we find, as we transform, one of my areas of interest is how each person individually is reacting to what's around them and trying to form a context of communicating with them. That's why I love the fact that you asked Lynn that.
And abuse. Think of the abuse systems out there. You know, I mean, and that are being perpetuated, that we should be in alignment with Jobs for Justice and the World Parliament of Religions and all the peace groups, green groups, and spiritually active groups out there that I gave you some of the, Alan Fine, one of the LinkedIn experts, he's got all kinds of connections already ready to go. I mean, we have the internet, cell phones, and language apps to actually talk to people, help them find out who they really are, and then develop these new communities where we have community rights and people work together at their heart and soul level, where people are going pretty basically, you know, you're being really this energetic field, or you're being over here, becoming a joyful child, interconnected with harmonic resonance. And why aren't they teaching more cooperative business practices for our kids? Co-ops.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
Lynn, just coming back to kind of what I was saying earlier, to me, the problems are so overwhelming, or so numerous, that it's going to take something virtually outside of ourselves to trigger that transformation within ourselves that is going to bring about the changes, all the kind of changes that, you know, that you're advocating. It's going to take something, I'll use the word cosmic, whether or not it's a natural force on Earth, such as climate change, so-called climate change, or whether it's our own insanity, or whether it is something, as I was saying earlier, whether it's going to be a manifestation, just an overwhelming number of extraterrestrial craft. And I say that because I think it was just one. You know, people say, "Well, why isn't somebody land?" You mentioned the Earth stood still, and I think that my personal feeling about that is, I think that if it was such a situation, we would have riot, looting, rampage, you know, everything that the cosmic beings do not want us to have. But I think that if it was just this overwhelming number, literally shock and awe in the best sense of shock and awe, where we're all absolutely humbled, we're all completely humbled. There's something that is triggered deep in our own DNA as to this remembrance of what we are a part of. This interconnection, and we don't see, you know, black, yellow, red, or you know, white, as you were referencing earlier on. We just see God, if for want of another word, we see that, and it is that kind of realization that can and unquestionably will bring about the kind of transformation that you're talking about. But I think otherwise, just sort of, you know, yelling and screaming and saying it should be this, should be that, should be, you know, the other, etc., is not going to do anything, because there's just as many voices shouting back.
Well, there's so many people that are in so many different areas of social injustice, so to speak. So just jobs with justice, I mean, and then put it towards the U.S. Declaration of Human Rights, or the Bill of Rights, or even the Pledge of Allegiance to the Flag. I pledge allegiance. These are all the officials. These are government officials, school-based and city councils and state, you know, Congress groups, and then our Congress, you know, I mean, really. And when they take the oath of office, too. But this Pledge of Allegiance to the Flag can be used backwards. I mean, we need, just like Citizens United, they used it backwards on people. They didn't unite citizens that way. So, I mean, really, the churches have to step this up. That's where I'm at. And get it on. Because, really, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation under God. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So if we're going to help the red, yellow, black, and white in every community, we need these jobs with justice. So we need people to take a step and not, you know, freak out with this. I'm just so tired of hearing, oh, church and state separation, you can't do that, Lynn. Yes, we can. It's just insane. What they're doing, using against us, that's where I just am really just really in disdain about not being able to get, you know, people that say they care about the homeless. Well, who are the homeless? One half to two thirds are veterans. The other ones are out of dysfunctional homes that have been taught warring, drugging, jailing, bullying, drugs, been drugged and labeling, drugging people since they're two. That's it. Well, who did Jesus say, yeah, I think you should start labeling and drugging your children at two, and I think you should teach them how to use guns and kill people at five and play gun war games? You know, I'm sorry, but, you know, churches really need to step it up and help. They have plenty of resources, and to me, it's their karmic atonement or reparation. You know, they really, you know, what happened with the Indians, what happened with slavery, and even what they're allowing with the, you know, 1,000 different military and the drone bombing, you know, what's going on in Palestine and Israel is disgusting, you know, and they have to help. you know, and I'm really hoping that the Jewish Voice for Peace will get this information and really help buy some network, buy some airways, you know, and bring in, you know, help bring in the new paradigm. So anyway, we're getting close to the end. I guess we have.
I'd like to say one last thing real quick. If anyone has any contact with extraterrestrial, extragalactic, extraplanar intelligence, I would enjoy the opportunity of sharing ideas with such an entity. If you could please invite them to talk with me, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, you have to invite them in yourself, and you can also go to ECETI, BBS Radio, Saturday, tonight. Go to ECETI.org, ECETI.org, and tune in to BBS Radio tonight for James Gilliland. There's an ECETI in Japan and in Australia, and also to Dr. Stephen Greer. He's getting the world leaders from, and there's a UFO, China Institute UFO group too, and then you can go to MUFON, then you can also go to Dr. Stephen Greer, or you can go to Omniverse too. You can go to the Exopolitics group. They know all about the ETs. Good and bad. But anyway, Dr. Stephen Greer is supposed to come out pretty soon. He'll have an announcement. He's from Dr. Stephen, Steven Greer, Greer. You really want to get connected with him. Pretty soon there'll be, hopefully it'll take, that will be the major takeover of many of the channels on our satellite programs. Because I know the E-Tech guys in Nevada or Idaho can do it, because they're also, the E-Tech guys are .com are also in India. But anyway, we got to take over some satellites and bring in the New Age paradigm programs. But also too, Dr. Stephen Greer will be meeting with all the major leaders of U.S., China, Russia, and maybe, I don't know. So anyway, yeah, it's time, and he's going to be facilitating that. He did the Library of Congress programs way back with Disclosure. You can look that up online, all that information. Dr. Stephen, Steven Greer, Greer. Yeah, he just sent out a notification like two or three days ago about that's coming up. So, alrighty. Any other comments or programs? And you got to ask. You got to learn to ask. Have you had any contact yourself, Reverend Nugent?
No, not personal direct contact. No.
Well, with the Holy Spirit realm, have
Dr.
you?
I knew Dr. George
or,
King
or
very well.
Or the angelic,
sorry,
archangels, or.
I was just saying, I knew Dr. George King, the founder of the Ethereum Society, very well. As you mentioned, took care of him in the latter years of his life. And he was, as far as I'm concerned, it's why I'm still doing his work 21 years later, a genuine contactee of extraterrestrial intelligences. And other than that, I would just like to thank you, Lynn, and Andy, and I'd like to wish Andy a very happy 60th in, 15 days, 11 days' time? Coming up anyway.
Yeah.
I'll be right on your heels.
Oh,
all
awesome.
Right.
And give your contact, your website, and your email, and that 800 number. That's wonderful, because I know that there's a lot of work to be done in right there in L.A., that is for sure.
Sure.
So,
well,
area in San Francisco. The Jewish Voice for Peace.org, they just moved to
Lynn,
San Francisco.
Let him give his information.
Okay.
I'm going to give two web addresses. The first is aetherius.org, and that's aetherius.org. That's the Ethereum Society's website. And I'm also going to give 12, the numerals, 12blessings.org. Every Saturday, we have a live online service of the 12 blessings at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. So any listener, anybody would like to join with an online service of the 12 blessings given by the Master Jesus in 1958 is welcome to join us, 12blessings.org. Thank you.
And what about the 800 number and your email?
800-800-1354. Email address, anybody can email me, paul@aetherius.org. I'll be delighted to converse.
Oh, thank you. Bless you. And I just am so, thank you for stepping in and being part of my talk show today. I just so appreciate your work and what you're doing. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you,
we need all the help we can get.
And thank you, Andy. Mm-hmm. And look forward to talking with you again sometime.
Thank you so much. Blessings. And also, Andy, thank you so much again for your insights and philosophical, rhetorical actually too, and somewhat provoking interaction to help bring in the light.
Always,
we
have always challenge.
Thank you so much. Blessings, everyone. We're going to go out with Planet of the Light with, we'll go out with Patti Becker's song. Patti Becker's song. It is Shine. Shine your light, everyone. Keep using your light. Ask for that help. Always ask. Let go. Let God use your light. Ask for help. Let go and receive the light. Opening to the Holy Spirit realm. So, everyone, we're going to go out. Much love. I'll be back in 2 weeks. And more information, you could go to angelencounters.net for the work I'm doing. And blessings and thank you, Patti Becker. We'll go out with Shine. Shine, everyone. Keep shining your light. Learn how to use it. Connect with your inner power, your God within. Love. And for love, 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 shine your light. Thank you.
Me in everything I do, my God lives inside me and loves me through and through. And if the whole world knew how much God loves them too, what a different world this could be. We would shine with the glory we were meant to. We would if the whole world knew that God surrounds them too, what a different world this could be. We would shine with the glory we were meant to. We would shine for the peace that never fades with time. We would walk with our brothers. We would walk with the divine. We can start right now. If it was.